Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jane Hoffman. I'm setting up. Listen to the song quick. I'm not going to run the whole thing. I'll be right on air. Hi, Suzette. Well, I have to bring you in the queue. Hi, Suzette.
Hello.
Hi, it's Jane. Can you hear me tonight?
I can.
Good. Don and John haven't called in yet. I'm leaving you on speaker because I'm doing a simulcast. Tonight's episode, I wanted to bring some highlights in. And then, are you in a good place right now?
Yeah.
are you in a good place? Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh, I sure can.
Okay, so today I'm only bringing a few highlights in because I've done a lot of different kind of research in the last week about the city of Los Angeles and what the city was going through the OJ trial. I watched a documentary, but last night I noticed on social media that Robert Kennedy, his friends took out a full-page ad in the New York Times. They were his colleagues where he worked 28 years as an environmental lawyer, and they're afraid Donald Trump is going to win if RFK continues his run for president. They're so afraid that they think that Trump will ruin the environment if he wins, and they're trying to do him a favor by making him quit. And I just think that's the coward's way out. Like, it's okay if you don't want your friend to run, but I don't think anyone has the right to tell somebody, you know, they can't run for public office.
Right.
And
right.
I was wondering what your opinion on that was.
No, I agree. I mean, how can we ever work our way out of a two-party system if any party is discouraged from running because they're worried that the other guy is going to win if that person stays in? Well, so what? At least that'll encourage more people to run because, you know, they'll increase their votes as they increase their popularity, and it may take, you know, an election cycle or two election cycles, who knows, but at least there'll be more choices than just the two that we're always having to have.
Yeah, we have Don on the line. Good. I was just going to comment on what, Don, I'll bring you in 10 seconds. I think when Ross Perot ran against Bill Clinton the first time, it didn't stop Bill Clinton. It didn't stop Bill Clinton from winning, but it brought a lot more people out to vote. I know some people. I lived near Madison, Wisconsin at the time, and you know, it didn't stop people from voting. In fact, more people came to the polls, and it didn't hurt Bill Clinton. So I was thinking of that illustration, and just a second. Let me pull Don in.
Okay.
Hi, Don. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Jane. Hi, Suzette. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Just
now,
trying to figure out.
I just wanted to make an announcement. I'm talking a little louder tonight, so it can pick up on the simulcast, and it's on speaker,
My phone is on speaker. Okay, because it wasn't you, it was us. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, Suzette was talking. Did you hear her?
Just now?
Yeah.
I heard her, but I don't know what this conversation was. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a quick recap because me and her just started. I'm going to read you guys my monologue. It's very short. 2020 was a year in which both major political parties hijacked each other. Biden is confident in his accomplishments, and yet, outside of the political system and Biden's confident in his accomplishments, and yet, outside of the political system, people are holding out and investing in Trump. Those are the people in the middle who don't identify with either one, being that Trump's public scrutiny is there every day in the headlines, for the world to recontour his fate with destiny. And yet there is a small minority of independent voters that hold disdain and passion for RFK Jr. His friends seem so compelled to put a full-page ad in the New York Times to try to stop him from running. His environmental colleagues are afraid of Donald Trump winning. In this election and in the world, state of being, nobody is winning. So, Don, why don't you start, and then we'll go back to Suzette.
All right. This is strange times, because in a lot of ways, you're right, rhinos are dinos, and dinos are rhinos. The independent vote is the vote that everybody's going to be challenging. And that's going to be the telling thing, who gets the independence. You know, I've always run or sought independent voters when I was taking care or helping with campaigns. I've been helping with campaigns for a long time, a couple of decades. And so it's kind of like I go against the normal vibe of making sure that you canvass your own parties, make sure they vote. I prefer campaigning to get the independent voter. And this year, more than ever, there are more than ever independent voters. There are virtually this country is a third, a third, and a third. And one of the things that we're looking at is the legislature that I'll have to figure out before I go lobby for it is ranked choice voting. We have that, but how effective it's going to be, and I have to be able to monitor that after the election. But that we no longer have the caucuses in its normal structure. And we've gone to primaries exclusively. Both
Nevada and Minnesota have switched from caucuses to primaries.
It's just easier. I used to be precinct caucus chair. I did it 1 year my own and two elections with help. And it is cumbersome. When you take into account having to, you know, get them in the door, the process of counting them, the process of going through all of the planks and everything involved in who you're going to vote for, it's just a crazy process because there's math involved. You have to, at that time, in real time, count out your votes and how many votes are going to represent your electorate. So that's what that's all about. And then you come down to who you're going to have to vote for as a person in your party, who that whole process determines the majority. So it's an incredible process that you have to go through. I've voted for Ross Perot twice and Ralph Nader once, and that's how strong I believe that the independent possibilities are alive and well. And, you know, when we see a black president, half-black president, I'm sorry.
Why did you vote for Ralph Nader?
I beg your pardon?
I didn't mean Ralph Nader. I thought you said you voted for Ross Perot. Like, what would be your appeal for that guy?
I voted for Ross Perot twice. I voted for Ralph Nader once. I voted, you know, and
I would vote for Ralph Nader, but Ross Perot was all diagrams and business charts.
Right. Well, Nader was too. He just had a little better grasp of character, determining people's character, and he was crass. Perot was a little more, you know, polished. And Nader just came out and said what he wanted to say. I met him before. I bet everybody.
Well, he was a watchdog president. He traced corporations and their wrongdoing.
That's why I voted
when they polluted the Michigan River and Lake Michigan.
Yep, I was there. Hadn't been there, but I just. That was, let me see, Ross Perot. I was in L.A. I'd moved already.
I voted for Jesse Jackson in 88. Don't talk too long like John, because Suzette she's missed the show for 2 weeks. And I would like to have her have the floor, too.
No, I'm done. I mean, I've relayed my story. So go ahead, Suzette. Take the floor if you have something.
Oh, good evening. I was just going to say, this country for too long has had the choices from, you know, two presidents. And I think it's unfair. There are a lot of people, candidates that are out there that third party, whether they're green or commie, Rob says, my husband, just independent, and you have to have big money in order to compete with the other two factions, and having to hold your nose and vote for the lesser of the two evils is only putting our country, limiting our country, basically, to expanding ideas, and it just seems to get stuck in this rut. I mean, we're stuck in a rut. I mean, you have to, whether it's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, or, you know, Hillary Clinton and Trump, because these are established dynasties that have continued on, whether in dynasty, I mean, in their party factions that they have. We don't have any new blood, and we've got two old men that are running right now, and neither one of them, I mean, come on. We don't know if they're going to make it their entire term, should either one win. And that's just, it's disappointing on the world stage, and very, I think, detrimental to the country itself and its standing in the world.
Wade is on the line. Now, I wanted to make a specific comment, and then I'll say hi to Wade. I do think that Hillary was really trashed by the Russian marketing commercialism and by Donald Trump. Lock her up. That was a Russian-based advertising campaign that Trump infiltrated into his campaign. And, yes, they were dynasties, and they – people like John wanted them dismantled, but now I just feel like it's an aging oligarch, kind of like the Russians. Like, we need someone between 40 and 60 to run, And even RFK Jr. is 70. And secondly, I love Pete Buttigieg, but he was gay, and I strongly don't think he would have won. So let's say hi to Wade quick.
Hi, Wade. Hey.
We're just talking generally about the American dystopia. Go ahead, you guys.
Yeah,
I'm talking about American dystopia.
Well, I think we tend to want someone older to be more. I would rather someone more experienced than someone really young that hasn't learned enough wisdom in life. But I know it's up to the voters to think, okay, what kind of mental state and health is. You know, if the person's healthy, it doesn't matter their age. But health is more the factor. Health is more important than age, I mean.
Well, sometimes you wonder why Donald Trump has so much stamina. Like, I've never even seen the dude out of a suit hardly. And then Joe Biden,
yeah.
we know Joe Biden's having physical problems, and so would I at 80. So I just think, I guess, we're, like you said a few weeks ago, Wade, I was listening to an old show where you said you have to cut off your hand to save your head. Like, people have to pick the lesser of two evils. But the real question is, do they? Can we RFK Jr. is gaining momentum, and now the mainstream media is actually scared. Yeah, he's between 25% and 30%, and people, even his friends, are scared, and they're telling him to drop out now. So I already talked to this with Suzette. They took out a full advertisement in the New York Times, a whole page, his colleagues and friends telling him to drop out or Trump's gonna win.
That's the tricky thing, yeah, about a third-party candidate. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes – I mean, of course, you know, there's always a lesser of two evils because the candidate's always going to be human. They're never going to be a god. So they're always going to have faults. So we just want to have someone that's going to do more so the right things and less so. I kind of like the idea of draining the hell out of the swamp, feeling about Trump that – maybe he's going to fire, like, and dismantle a huge – that's what the guy in Argentina did. Like, just his stick was, you know, waving around a chainsaw that he's going to just hack away at government. And we need to get rid of a lot of these institutions that are just really controlling of people and get our freedom back.
Well, like Suzette was saying, like, we don't seem to get rid of what people consider the bad guys. Their dynasty just keeps growing. And I was watching – I'm going to let Suzette talk next. I was watching an O.J. four-part special called Made in America, and there was like a 75- to 80-year-old black lady on – she was a juror, actually. But now she looks about 90, I hate to say it, but – she said if O.J. had killed a black woman, he'd have his ass in jail and he would have been convicted. So I'm paralleling that comment to, like, people who John wants destroyed, like Hunter Biden and the Clintons. Like, those people don't face retribution. They just like, kind of recycle themselves and are popular for each phase. So, now, Don, don't go into race right away because we're still on elections. I'm just giving you a warning bell, okay?
I'm getting ready to read a book by Dr. Glaude, Glaude, and it's called We Are the Leaders We Have Been Looking For. And he's African American, of course, and he's propagating some of the things that I've been talking about. Is that we're the ancient people, we know what the answers are, and that we've given the opportunity to come to America so that we can spread our mission and
Now you sound like a black Hebrew Israelite. But I do want to say that when I did watch the OJ documentary, when I did watch the OJ documentary, there was a lot of civil rights leader right in that city who were pretty remarkable, and they weren't dogmatic. They were just right on the money every single time. So, but let's we're not going to shift into race right now, okay? We're going to stay on topic.
All right.
So,
when I think about elections and I think about, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Don't call me a goathead.
I said go ahead.
I know. I'm just playing with you. When I think about the elections and stuff, I really have to go back to our founding papers, the documents. And it just seems like with each party, those documents keep getting ignored. And the representatives that we send to Congress basically are there for the country, even though each represents each state. But overall, they're supposed to be working for the good of the country. And for some reason, these people that are there seem to want to grow old in their position. And really, they're half-minded because of their age. Their age has a lot to do with it, and their mind is not as sharp, if even there at all. You know, and they're dying out of their positions. And that's not right. And when we have a president,
are you talking about the squad?
No, I'm talking about people like Dianne Feinstein. People, all the oldies, they're dying out of Congress. They're there forever. And any president that seems to get into office makes it really difficult for them to do any type of job that they were elected to do. When you have all these people that are set in their ways, that are set in their groups. And then you have bureaucracies the same way. I mean, look at what happened with the Labor Department instituting that Biden's rule for no gig work anymore. Can't have any gig work, side jobs or anything like that. And it wasn't done through Congress because it could never be done unless it was done through an amendment. And he knew that. And so the only way he could get it done, because he couldn't do it by executive order, the president, the current president occupying the White House right now, is to go by executive order. And they all do that. Each president will go to try and do end runs in order to bypass the Constitution. I want somebody in office and to represent me and also as president of this country to understand that everything has to be to protect the Constitution. To protect those rights and the Bill of Rights, all of our documents that we're founding, not find end runs around them to get things done. We didn't send them there to be writing laws all day long, you know, constricting our freedom and then having the president sign off on it. I mean, that's all I'm seeing these days, and it's very disappointing. So when I say the lesser evil, the choices that we have, it really is, because no matter what, it's still has to go through Congress, and if not through Congress, they make their end runs. The presidents make their end runs around the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
One second, wait. I saw a documentary on how McConnell spent 10 years trying to get the Supreme Court stacked conservative. And then also, nobody in Congress nowadays but Marjorie Taylor Greene highly offends me, but they did get a $61 billion package approved this weekend for the Ukraine. Bipartisan.
Yep.
Wade, did you want to say something?
Sure. Well, I understand the arguments for and against the Ukraine bill. And, you know, it does make sense. People against it are like, you know, why aren't we taking care of this country? And I think a lot of arguments could be solved by just not doing things through taxes, because if we're not taxed, then we don't have to argue about how the taxes are spent. Everything is someone spending their own money. I would say the issue is not the age of the people, but the particular, it's the particular older people. I think, you know, I don't mind the right kind of older person, but yeah, like Feinstein is not good and those people. Unfortunately, though, they have a district where people want that kind of. No, I don't think so. Did she?
I thought
yeah,
she died.
She died.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm. Who am I thinking of? Okay. Maybe,
maybe
I'm.
You were
all right.
Thinking of Barbara Boxer. Maybe you were thinking of Barbara Boxer.
Oh, I thought I haven't heard anything about her in a long time. Oh,
I think
Nancy
she
Pelosi
died
is
too.
The one. Okay, that's right. I get them mixed up. No, Nancy Pelosi is who we're talking about.
Okay, yeah, Nancy Pelosi is running one more time, she said. What?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be sitting there as an 85-year-old fart, but apparently she has an agenda.
Yeah, but if it's like, if it's a good 85-year-old, like that's what I'm saying is it's not the age, it's the person. It's like it shouldn't matter. You know, people are going to live longer and longer. Like, you know, let's not put a number on it. Let's just say, you know, we don't want people who are stuck in their ways and not willing to. I don't think it's people think it's about finding people to change things in the government to make it so that there's more rules and laws that are meant to make the world better. It's like, no, we need people to get rid of laws so citizens can make change. They're not letting the citizens make the change.
Agreed.
Yeah. You brought up that – I'm going to let Don back in a second and let him talk. But, yeah, you brought that topic. We don't have a pure democracy like the Greeks. Like,
no.
Citizen ideas are rarely projected at the national level. They probably are more at the state level, but not at the national level.
Yeah, and they don't even have to be, like – political ideas, like let people invent new kinds of houses. Let people come up with inventions in their garage. Don't make it so hard to do that stuff.
Well, the one guy who died had an invention in his garage, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, but let people shouldn't have to be rich to afford
right.
to get permission to invent things.
Invent. I mean, we need innovation and
mm-hmm.
Creative minds. You know, if we're going
yep.
to stay in competition with the rest of the world, and right now we're strangling it through
yeah.
our trade practices.
The only thing made in the garage is pipe bombs nowadays.
Well, you know, if they didn't make permitting, sometimes it's not that they don't allow it. It's just It is so costly to get permission to do something. Like the permitting costs just are through the roof, and there's no reason. Why do we need permits to use solar
mm-hmm.
power? Like that,
yeah.
there's no reason. Like people should just be allowed to do it. Compost toilets should just be allowed to do it.
I know people who have problems with toilets. One is in Riverside County. They can't get the sump pump fixed.
Oh, is that right?
We know exactly what you're talking about. We can't. I'm not experienced enough to comment on it, though. But Don, I was going to tell you that we can go back to the Made in America documentary because I want to bring a few things up later. So I'm not going to shut you down for the whole show.
Why would you shut me down at all?
Well, I wasn't going to shut you down, but the last three shows, John talked over you one show, another show, two other people talked a lot, and you kind of just faded into the sunset. Singapore and Mike is guilty of taking over.
Well, all I know is that I don't know what I did wrong. I'm sorry for everything I ever did in my entire life.
Why are you saying that? We're not putting you in. You're not O.J. Simpson.
O.J. didn't apologize to nobody. Crazy. I just apologized to the entire world. that I'm sorry for things that I don't even know I did.
Speaking of OJ, he made his children sign a non-disclosure agreement on his deathbed. So it probably, it's probably something like, you don't get any money if you're going to tell the truth about my ex-wife.
Yeah, because they said that he had a conversation with him before he died. So it might
well,
have been
I know
exactly.
Arnell, his oldest daughter, was supportive of him. Some of the other kids didn't really pay much attention to him, like Justin and Sydney.
I don't know the name. Mm. I'm glad somebody
The older boy was named Jason Simpson. The younger boy that was Nicole's was Justin, so that's hard to, like, separate. And then Nicole doesn't talk hardly to anybody. I mean, Sydney. She doesn't talk to anybody.
Okay. I wouldn't doubt it.
But I wanted to just briefly bring up when they had Gilgar study on the documentary. They had Ron Shipp, who was a police officer, friends with OJ, which kind of, he was the best person in there because he knew the truth that he killed Nicole. But he had to cover OJ another time when OJ had domestic violence on January 1st, 1989. But just the whole cast of characters, like two civil rights leaders, that's lesser known, and they were just saying stuff like OJ never promoted the black race, and they were talking about the city of L.A. and how he got away with it in general. In no other city in America would he have gotten away with that murder. But Wade and Suzette and Don, why don't you talk about what's on your mind now? I don't have a big agenda tonight. My cousin's in the hospital about to die, and I don't have a big agenda tonight.
I want to talk crap about John Stewart. Let's talk about him.
How about John Yoder?
No, John Stewart. John Yoder. I don't like John Stewart.
What happened with John Stewart?
Well, it's hypocrisy. I hate hypocrisy. He's such a smug, arrogant prick. I don't know. He's just got such an attitude. Well, he was going on like I don't totally understand the case with Trump, but he was caught that he did the same thing. So Trump overvalued his property is what he's accused of, right? Which I don't understand. Like banks are supposed to figure that out. But I don't completely understand the whole thing. But they point out as evidence that his tax value he paid at a much lower estimate. Well, the government always estimates your tax value. They do that for you. So John Stewart was, ragging on Trump over that, which is fine in and of itself. Like, okay, he's a Democrat. Of course he's going to do that. But then we found out that John Stewart had also way overvalued his property and sold it to someone who ended up reselling it at a huge loss. And so people are like, hold on, which to me, that's the thing is like, the hypocrisy. I hate hypocrisy. And he's a hypocrite and he's smug and arrogant and he's doubling down. People are calling him out, and he's like, "Well, no, but it's not the same. But look at Trump. Don't look at me. Like, well, okay, you shouldn't be talking if you are the same."
Well, how did you find out that he? How did you find out about John Stewart's property?
Well, I watched a bunch of information on YouTube about it.
You know who I think is talented is Trevor Noah.
I don't like him a whole lot either.
Well, he has a really quick mind. Like he can He can process the news faster than anyone I ever know. And Rachel Maddow's pretty fast, too.
Yeah.
But can you, Suzette, Don, and Don, and Wade, could you talk a minute? I have to check on something in the kitchen. So keep talking.
Sure.
Not real big fan of Rachel Maddow. Trevor Noah.
No.
No, not for me. But that's, you know, just for me and as far as my likes and dislikes. And so no biggie there. People are entitled to who they like, and they just don't agree with me.
Yeah.
What can I say?
I don't like hypocrites, and a lot of them have been found to be hypocrites. So.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, guess what? It's not only James Stewart. It is also, I'm trying to type here while I'm talking, John Stewart. I mean, it's Letitia James as well. She did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yep. And hers is almost much worse because she stepped in on a sale to try and save a historic building she wanted to keep. And that person that had saved him the loan never to this day still hasn't gotten paid back, but he's suing her. So, and also the, I'm trying to think of the name I'm trying to type here and find it at the same time. Goodness gracious. I can't find it. Go ahead and talk while I look this up. I just
people
have to...
that are, will just, I mean, they'll, and then people will just double down and they have no argument. They'll just be like, no, it's not the same. It's not the same. Like, yes, it's, yeah, but it's not that different. Like, but they'll just, no, it's, but really what they mean to say is, it's okay when I do it because I'm me and I get to do it. But I get to be mad at other people for doing it. That's what they really mean.
I suppose echoing.
Yeah, there's a lot of echo in there.
Echoing bad. Is somebody on speaker, too?
Let me see. I turned off my speaker.
I don't think. Okay, anyways, it's okay now, so just skip it.
Okay, yeah, maybe that was it.
So why don't you guys like Trevor Noah?
Just, yeah, very smug and arrogant and...
and not very informative.
Yeah, I didn't care for his take on a lot
research.
Of stuff.
Yeah, I think he's more entertainment-based.
He tries to make light of everything when he talks about it and thinks he's so witty and so smart when he talks about it. It just drives me.
I haven't watched him lately, but he used to be on Instagram a lot.
Okay.
If you guys scroll down Instagram, like there's tons of news there, but some of it's jaded.
I haven't used it
I'm not on Instagram.
Someone said them? Do you guys know that someone set themselves on fire outside the Trump courthouse?
Jeez.
Yeah, he died.
They're back to doing that?
Yeah,
he died.
That's exactly what I said, Wade.
Yeah, that was a big thing in, like,
that,
the 70s.
That famous Vietnamese Buddhist did it. The Vietnam Buddhist set himself on fire during the Vietnam War, but
I remember seeing that as a little kid.
Yeah. Well, this is your average Joe Blow, and nobody even knew his name.
Okay.
So, well, what else do you guys want to talk about rather than fight?
Who's fight?
I mean, we don't have to stay on the airline. I was just upset that the last show was, it did not record properly on Zoom. And had I hit the record button, it would have been saved.
All right.
Well,
did anyone get to see the Easter? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Wade.
Oh, the Easter special. I mean, it's not very political. It's just like a stage thing we did that's kind of like a cartoon, but... I don't know.
I watched 15 more minutes, I watched 15 more minutes of it the night we did that one show, and it was very intense. I felt like the show was really intense, Wade, and I didn't get to the end of it yet.
Was it intense, really?
I didn't see a link or anything.
Don, I don't even know if you were on the show that night, but I'll resend it.
That's right.
It's on Wade's YouTube. John's on the net. Oh, Singapore Mike's on the air. Now we have someone to talk. Singapore Mike.
We were
just
talking.
A minute, Singapore Mike. But wait, I want to say one thing. I think your Easter play was like you were trying to create mystery in a sense about what it's like to attain the golden truth of some sort. And your main objective was like people who are searching. That's really a condensed version because now I haven't looked at it for 3 weeks. But that's kind of what I
really
get.
Deep. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's bring Singapore Mike in one sec.
Sure.
Hopefully it's him. Hi, Singapore
Hello,
Mike.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Hello, Suzette. Is that Suzette online?
Yes. And we have Wade and Don.
Yes, Wade and Don. Hi to everybody, and we salute you from Singapore. We have a lot of intel for you for Iran and Israel war, and when you want me, then I will give you some of the intel for your beloved show.
Well, we heard on NPR this weekend that they had Iran and Iraq are having another skirmish, Iran and Israel, and Israel attacked some of their facilities in Iran, but why don't you give us the detail?
Oh, of course. First of all, everything is very weird. Because if you want to attack a country, you are not going to tell to anybody, okay, I'm going to attack Russia tonight or tomorrow, for example. You are not going to, you just do it, right? But Iran told Joe Biden that, yes, we are going to have attack very soon in the next 48 hours. And last time we give you the true intel. You remember last time, I think? We told you that it's going to happen. And so this is fishy. And also Israel was informed Biden, Joe Biden, say, hey, we are going to hit a response to Iran, but that's only a dry run, Everything was a dry run for Ayatollah and for the Israel because today pretty much they got, $30 billion in everything they want, tanks, ammunition, etc. So this is just the tip of iceberg right now. And this will keep continuing. And Israel eventually will EMP attack Ayatollahs. And the only way to bring or to prevent Iran, Ayatollahs to have atom bomb is to just an EMP. And Kali also they're going to hit Abadan. All the oil refineries from Iran, and so really nothing will work. So that's the best thing they can do. So also tonight, Putin was rushed to underground bunker. So. Also,
what for?
Yeah. Yeah, Putin rushed to his bunker in Moscow right now, and eventually he will go back to the different bunker in eastern Russia because Moscow is so close, you know. So basically, a lot of things has happened. Ukraine just last night and tonight they did attack Russia, and some part of Russia they don't have electric power right now as we speak. So basically, you know, a lot of events happening because Zelensky got jealous because everything is now is about Iran, Israel and Ayatollah. So therefore, he said, no, what about me? You know, we are also active here. So now suddenly is Ukraine again become active again. And Ukraine is going to get, I think, $60 billion, and the rest will go to Taiwan. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the Congress approved, I believe it was a $62 billion bill for the Ukraine. I don't even know where the money is coming from, for that matter.
Well, you see,
coming from you folks working 65 hours a week, all that overtime you're getting is going right straight into the war chest. And you know,
Don, I have good news. I collected Social Security for 9 months. And I only owe the Fed $3,700.
Okay. That's because you work so much. That's what I'm talking about, your 60, 65-hour weeks. You're paying for our war chest. You're paying for Ukraine and people like you who are making overtime. So, you know, that's one of the things that you people don't understand, the fundamentals of the economy. Earlier, we were talking about the way businesses are run and things like that. The laissez-faire economy or economics is how democracy was predicated, the economics was predicated on. And that is just the survival of the fittest, monopolies be damned, and you just make sure that you get with, you know, you make more money than the next guy. He who has the biggest toys wins, or the most toys wins. So that's how we're predicated on. So all of this ideology that Wade, I think, was talking about, you know, it's nice and all, but it's just not, it's not the democratic way. And, you know, it's something that, if all those things you were talking about, Wade, were socialism. In terms of at least the medical field. And I don't know what else that would have been included in that, but that was something that we have to, you know, figure out, because there are great spots, but everything changes and we'll never know until we try. And then also in addressing the age thing, you know, it is nice to have someone who is mature in office, especially the presidency. But this is the voters of America have taken this way too far. You've got two people who are averaging 79 and a half years old running for office, the presidency. That's ridiculous.
But again,
most people,
why
get,
isn't it more about the physical state and not their age? Like, if someone had a body of a 30-year-old at that age, why would it matter? Like,
well,
it's more about their health.
We had a Ronald Reagan.
Well, Bernie Sanders. How about Bernie Sanders?
Ronald Reagan was his second term. He was a vegetable. He was virtually a vegetable in that second term. Nancy Reagan was the president. So that's just that's just the way it was.
But you're describing health, not age. That's health.
It's both. I mean, Reagan was up there in the late 70s.
But it's the health that matters. That's my point.
That's positive, Wade, but the only really functional 82-year-old is Bernie Sanders. I think even Trump is having some, not so much a senior moment, but he's having a hard time processing all the stress he's under.
You see, my friend, Jane, look, wait, let me talk for you guys. You see, there is no political solution in the United States today. You see, British imperialism, they want us to fight for the Trump, for the Joe Biden, or for a libertarian,
we need Ayatollah, whoever we want.
You know, that's why in the beginning of 25, Suzette, I haven't finished my wording yet, and I will give you a microphone after that, my dear. You see, they want us to fight between each other, and then the real stories will be not talked about, and we don't care about anything else. Right now, we care about Trump or Biden, Joe Biden, or Bernie Sanders, or anybody else possibility. But this is the book of British imperialism. They want us. You see, Canada belongs to British imperialism. Australia belongs to British imperialism. So everything, many countries owned by British today, means the global New World Order, okay? But now they want us to fight between each other with the name of Trump or no Trump or whoever you want. And then the real story, the real information will be lost. And then why they made the Civil War movie too? Why? Because it's predictive programming. They're telling us what will happen in the United States soon or later. So as a result, Putin doesn't have to put a shot on United States or any other, China or North Korea or Ayatollah or anybody else, okay? So we are going to kill each other because we lost everything else. Because British imperialism, they put on our mind, Trump or no Trump, Trump or no Trump. As a result, we will kill each other. And then they will land their troops in our country, beloved country, and then that would be end of the story. So, you know, instead we have to look for commonality. We look for not differences. Differences will be always there. Right now I'm in Singapore, and Suzette is in California, okay? In San Bernardino, for example, probably, in the big mountain, you know? And so, for example, there is nothing I can do. She lives there. I am in Singapore, and Jane is in Minnesota. Differences is always there. But we have to look for commonality, and we have to make America, you know, not weak. If we fight between each other all the time, between Trump and no Trump, these blah, 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 the real things will be lost. And we will be in the same situation as the Civil War movie, too. And we don't want that to happen to the United States of America. Go ahead, please.
Suzette, do you want to go?
I'm just trying to figure out what he just said. He just gave us an opinion, and I just wonder what makes you think that they never wanted us to stop fighting amongst each other? That is a natural occurrence. That's something between neighbor fight. And that, you know, you multiply that exponentially, and that's when you get the whole world, the conglomerate. So, I mean, that's just natural that they want us to fight amongst each other. Now, why? Do they want to take our money? Do they want us to be detracted from whatever they're doing, nefarious? Do they want us to try to learn that type of lifestyle and be domesticated, more or less socialistic or communistic? Well, what is the reason for them wanting to keep us fighting between each other, because that's natural. It happens.
But if we take the bait, shame on us. If we don't take the bait of British imperialism, then we will be good.
Mike, you know these people don't have a brain.
Who?
Anybody. We're made up of sin. So that means that we are inherently lacking character, total knowledge, enlightenment, anything like that.
Right. Okay, I believe you, but not everybody. But yes, maybe it's...
No, not everybody.
A lot of people like that. Yes, I do believe that. I agree with you. But many people are awake. People are understanding. We don't want to fight between each other. We don't want... I mean, we can have a civilized talk. That's fine. You know, you say XYZ, say by Joe Biden... XYZ say, you know, Donald J. Trump, but without emotions, we can talk with each other with civility, then that's fine. But eventually, you know, when it comes to the election November 4th, I believe, and then, you know, we should always keep our civility. We don't want our weakness shows to the world. I know some, as you said, yeah, you are awake, I am awake, Jane is awake, Suzette is awake, Wade is awake, but, I mean, still, we need to appreciate each other as American citizens, and that's the problem. Once you leave the United States, okay, if I see Wade in London, oh my gosh, how are you doing, Wade? What's your name, you know? And, suppose in the coffee shop in London. Oh, okay, you know, we appreciate each other. But once we are in the United States, we don't appreciate each other. And that's the biggest problem. Go ahead, please. Anybody else can go? Or the Don, please?
Yeah, we need to maintain stability, for sure. But also,
I think that
we
have
respect these differences.
Go ahead.
Well, the main thing is that one of our conflicts is getting going to get us into World War III like normal religion. And this is where the neighbors against neighbors, these people live on top of each other on a daily basis. And now their homeland is bombed out. Everybody is gone from parts of Gaza, and it's not going to be rebuilt anytime soon, because that was the nexus of all the cultures coming together around there in Tel Aviv, and it's just going to be a change in the way people work, in the demographics, who's going to come back. And this is alongside one of the opponents still going in with ground troops and cleansing more or less the city. But it's very, very difficult not to do when somebody is telling you that they want to, you know, kill Israel, kill the United States, down with whoever. You know, so these two entities are not just like, you know, in a way like Mike is saying, these things will not be resolved, period. And so we're going to have to devise ways. And I've always mentioned that, you know, by 2045, the majority is going to be the minority. So we'll have to share our ideas in a peaceful fashion for that transition, or there'll be a civil war. That's the only way of peace, is to share the information. And that is the last thing our leadership wants to do, because their motto, I learned a long, long, long time ago, is if I can't have it, no one else can.
Right. So that's the biggest problem, my friend, because then global martial law will come. America would be under martial law. and then all of what? Nobody will have
United
any
States,
rights anymore.
United States will
and nobody will have any rights. And then what will happen?
No.
So we should be civil together at all the time. We
right.
should love each
right.
other at all the time. But if we have differences, I'm sorry. So we have some differences.
It ain't happening, Mike. It ain't happening.
Why not?
Shoulda, coulda, woulda is just a pipe dream. Reality shows us that each individual is their own individual, and it's very, very difficult to have 8 billion, 9 billion individuals on Earth and get along together all the time. It's a pipe dream.
So allow people to be in smaller communities and allow things to be decided more locally and not centralized decisions, you know, there'd be less conflict because people can have what they – people don't want the same things. That's the thing is that I find the left doesn't understand. People don't want the same thing. Let people have – let Texas be Texas. Let California be California. People can have different kinds of – communities in different places and let things be decided in communities.
We do, it's called cities and counties.
Yeah, well, it gets too big. I mean, let decisions be more local.
I asked Susan, I want to know, why do you think that why United States is going to go to the wrong direction, why we are going to go and basically burn each other up, why? Like that guy, he went in front of the Donald Trump, trial and burned himself. I mean, and he used to be, has the pictures we have as a journalist, we saw his picture with Bill Clinton. So I don't get it. I mean, what the hell is happening here? Can you please explain for our listeners, please? Suzette, go ahead.
I don't know why that guy burned himself up. Well, I have an idea. Basically, if you follow our Defense Department and the new toys that they have developed, and toys, of course, that they've had forever, or it seems that way anyway, but they have advanced technology now that has been even more developed, and that is neurotechnology. There's a gentleman that talks about the ethics of it because it not only has the remote viewing, but per person, if you don't know what remote viewing is, it's basically somebody that can get into your head and see what you're seeing wherever you're at and listen to what you're saying and can even influence you to act a certain way because they're in your head. And so this technology has been available to them for quite some time now, but now it's so developed that they're using or that they're actually testing it on our military personnel.
Is that microwave where they the wavelengths go into your head? Because I was just wondering.
You see, there was a movie made. I forgot exactly the name. I think it was something zero or something. That in that movie, it was a remote viewer that was able to go after the bad guy. He was a truck driver, and he killed a lot of young girls, and he was able to go after him. So yes, we understand remote viewing, and pretty much everybody has access to that. I mean, if you meditate, if you many things they have trained United States Army so they can bring more intel from the future so they can decide what they have to do next. Yes, I am aware of that. Go ahead, please do that.
Well, I got to get up early tomorrow. I should get going.
right.
Thanks for joining,
okay.
Wade. I had myself on mute.
Sure.
Thank you for contributing, and we have diverted into a lot of different topics. So, did you want to say something before you leave?
I mean, I think we're at odds with people that want things done by the government and people that want individuals to have the freedom to innovate and try their ideas. And so we got to sort that out because there's a big conflict between those two groups.
And that's why everybody is
coming
in the ladder.
But we always love each other. So we love you always, Nate. And John, and Suzette, and Jane. Always.
Yeah,
Wade, you've been good about calling in lately.
Yeah, I like it. It's just I get a little tired during the week, but I try to get in, a bit involved.
I fade easily, too. Good night, Wade.
All right. Good night,
Wade.
Good night, Wade.
Have
night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Nice.
Suzette, are you dropping?
I'm dropping. Good show. Good conversation. Good to talk to everybody and hear everybody's voices. And thank you.
You know what?
And,
I think I hung up on Singapore Mike. Sorry.
It kind of worked out. You were kind of into the show anyway. So.
Well, unless you want us.
Suzette was saying at the end, and I was going to say, time anyone invaded my brain was Satan in the gambling casino. So, but anyways, Singapore might call back in, but Suzette, I understand. We've been on the show an hour already, so thanks for calling in. Okay?
All righty, thank you.
Yeah,
all righty,
thank
good
you,
night,
Suzette.
Everybody. Thank you, Dawn.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
God
bless you, too.
Singapore and Mike, for some reason, it's just me, Singapore, Mike, and Jane. When I hung up on Wade, for some reason, Mike's call dropped. I don't know how. I don't know if I clicked it off by mistake. I don't know.
You're
back
girl.
On the air.
It's okay. You are a bad girl.
I'm not a bad
okay.
girl. I made a fancy meal. I had to go to the hospital to see a dying relative, and I'm not on my A game. I'm getting sleepy.
Oh, so tomorrow you will have your retina detachment surgery?
No, I had it April 12th, and it wasn't that. All they did is they did surgery, shot about 30 lasers into my eye, and I still have the black blob, which is like a floater in my eye, but it's slightly getting better, and it's going to take...
Oh, my gosh.
It's taking 3 more weeks, they said. 3 more weeks to improve.
Oh, my God. No, so they did not put you to sleep and do the actual main retina surgery for you?
No, all they did, I have a thing called, it starts with a V. It's a...
Oh, vitrectomy?
What happened is there was a hemorrhage in my left eye, which caused a blood river. And just a minute, I'll bring up my chart. And then it caused blood in the back of my eye, and they put laser surgery in this to close up the wounds. But for some reason, right after they do it, it doesn't solve the floater problem immediately. It still takes 3 or 4 days or something like that it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get better.
Right.
Which it kind of pissed me off in a way, you know, because I'm mad about it because I'm not used to being blind. And second of all, it was a distraction. I can't see very good.
So you have retina detachment or you don't?
I don't have retina detachment. I found it. I have a vitreous hemorrhage left eye.
Oh, hemorrhage.
A vitreous hemorrhage left eye.
Okay. So that's easier than the retinal detachment. But anyway,
right, like
we always
go ahead.
Pray for you. We always pray for you that your surgery went well, and hopefully you recover ASAP.
I know, and I mean, when you're in a situation like this, you can really only depend on God and prayer because things, you know, life isn't a piece of cake and not everything always goes just smoothly.
Right. Absolutely, in God we trust. We trust. So let's ask Wade. Ask Don, our brother. Please, can you give us a report? So what is the solution? Do we have any political solution? I don't think so. But what's the solution?
Don, you can talk a few more minutes. Don, I mean, I'm gonna end the show in 15 minutes, but Don, go ahead.
Yeah, no, we don't have any solutions. This is, life is an ongoing process, and there is nothing that's final about it until it's final. And as I mentioned a little earlier, the only thing that stays the same is change. So we're going to have to live with it, adapt with it over time, make sure that everything works properly in our day and age. And we're lucky so far that nobody has really shot off any nuclear bombs so far, except for us. But that can be a world-destructive, climate-changing. So we should be grateful to be alive and enjoy the time that we're here. No complaining, no bickering. That is ideally what I'd like to see. But as I just prefaced, it ain't going to happen. We're too engrossed in our own lives and greed and getting by.
Right.
So for a lot of people, it's a game. And so however they play the game is how they play the game. And in their heads, that determines if they win or lose. So we're in a situation that we're in fluid, and nobody knows where we're going, and nobody knows what we need to do for our family's future, because we don't have families anymore. Our kids aren't making love. They're not making babies. And the next thing you know, we're going to be more or less with the biggest percentage being people of color. So,
Don,
be careful. Watch out, here it comes. Yeah, go ahead.
You have two children who produce children, or three. Lauren pulled a prank on me, and he told me he got a vasectomy, and I believed him. But then he told me last night it was a joke, a week later.
It's probably the first one is true.
And then that he's my only hope for a grandchild.
Well, I mean, he probably is joking with you. He probably meant to say
he was, but when he first he got two surgeries in the Army. He got the eye thing, the LASIK, where you don't need glasses the rest of your life. And he got his teeth fixed perfectly through. He only had one tooth out of order, but he got his teeth fixed, and he had an underbite.
Oh, that's good.
So I thought maybe,
because it will cost
I thought
him
maybe
lot,
he
no.
was serious. What?
I say it will cost
what,
him
what?
A lot now. So that's good he fixed it before he comes out of the Army.
Right. It didn't cost him a penny. And he's not planning on using any more surgery right now or having.
Okay.
But,
so we are happy. We are glad.
I can see my friend who's 34 refuses to bring friends My friend Melissa refuses to bring children into the world right now. She thinks it's too crazy.
Yes, the reason is it was the COVID-19, my dear friends. COVID-19 really screwed up everybody, and as a result, you know, so there was now, even COVID-19 is bullshit now, by now, but still there's, you know, because we were locked down, we were we couldn't go anywhere, etc. Stress, depression, anxiety, and all that, and it still is harassing us up to now, and probably in the future too. You know, a Mexican has a 4 kids, and a white man or a black man cannot have even one son or daughter. I mean, we used to have lots of kids with a black man or white, or Chinese or even any other cultures. But now we don't see that anymore. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Don.
I mean, I know a black man and a Latina woman who had 5 kids in the last 6 years, but that's really the anomaly. It's not the norm.
I mean, they
both have college degrees. She's a nurse and he's an engineer, but for some reason they're strict Christians and they wanted a lot of kids, but it's kind of like Jimmy Carter and the lifeboat ethic. We don't have enough. It's selfish to have 5 kids nowadays. I hate to say it.
Yes, yes.
I got
understand.
5 kids.
Because... Go ahead, Don. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to be signing off in 10 minutes.
I have 5 kids. What's wrong with that?
I know, but... Some of them weren't planned. I mean, it's not like you sat down and... the 3 that you had with Pat were planned. Who's the 5th one, that Pat's child?
Right.
And you have another girl that you don't see that much.
No, I don't see it at all.
Well, that's too bad.
What do you think is that, Don? Why before everybody had 4 or 5 kids, now people don't have even one, or it may be one they have now. What happened? What happened since, since before COVID and after COVID? Can you please explain us?
The Bible says...
Go ahead, Don.
The Bible says go forth and prosper, or multiply.
Did you say prostrate?
I said...
What are
I
you smoking? I thought you said prostrate.
So what you're saying that people don't have any more money?
No, it should be
so forth
and multiply.
Yeah, we know what it says, but it was a command for the Jews in the wilderness, not for 20th century women.
Bullshit.
Right? Be
it's
fruitful. And, you got to find a good spouse.
20th century
you have to find
women,
a good spouse.
20th century women are no longer women. They're blah. They're fatty tissue. They're
Well, now they're old ladies.
Right.
20th century women are now old ladies.
Yeah, I'm just joking, of course. But the thing is that the people need to do something about their appearances, about their about their fitness levels. Because
no shit, I had to walk a mile and a half today, and I almost died.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to. That's not how the human body works. You should be able to walk a mile and a half in 6.5 minutes without a problem.
I had to go to the hospital. It was under construction, and there was only one entrance, and I had to park 8 blocks away, and it was sunny and hot, and I hadn't eaten since for 8 hours because I did an overnight, and I literally could not walk. I mean, I walked, but I felt like I could hardly walk.
Well, come to our business, our Zumba class.
I will once I'm retired. Well, anyways, you guys can keep talking. Janessa Hoffman has to go to school tomorrow.
So Don, is that the problem that less child, better economics? Is that the reason people don't have a kid or like a four before, et cetera? Or just because of lack of care for the kids? I mean, it costs now. I mean, they say from the beginning, from the start of the child labor until 18 years old, it will cost over $1.5 million you have to spend. So are you angry with that, or do you have a different opinion to this? Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I'm talked out. I mean, for the most part, what we need to do is look to the future, Mike. You know that. All of this stuff that's coming down is going to be cathartic. It's going to bring a lot of people. Change their mind. It's going to bring them into reality quick, fast, and in a hurry. And we're going to be looking at all kinds of things that are going to break down. The systems are not made to take this kind of stress. So, and most of it is existential stress from dangers from within. When you're talking about your own government, your own parties, impeachments, coups, January 6th affairs, you're talking about your own country destroying itself. And that's maybe a good thing for African Americans, because then we may be able to have Trump back in there, and then he'll have constitutional conventions, and we'll change this puppy to our image, which is going to have to be, it's going to be eventually, but not now. Now is not the time. That's my conclusion.
So, again, you are belong to Democratic Party, and I believe you are one of the heads of Democratic Party in the state of Nevada. Am I right? And so, what do you see the future of USA, please?
What do I see the future of what is?
Future of the United States, please. What do you see? The future of the United States, please.
Well, those are softballs, Mike. It's real easy. The United States, every single empire, everyone in the history of man demises, goes downhill. Historians generally say it takes anywhere from 400 to 1600 years. We're in our 400th year. We are still going very, very strong because we are the world leaders. And that's something that we earned. We're doing things very, very well considering what is the norm. Everybody's got all these, the sky is falling moments, and those people are all idiots. So we need to really just hunker down, keep on going on the same right path, and enjoy ourselves. And like Mike said, love each other. So that's all we can hope for among us with reasonable brains, which I'm not one, but hey, I'll throw myself in there this time. That's my conclusion, pretty much. We need to just enjoy ourselves and where we're going. Enjoy the ride.
Right, exactly. Although we are going to have a hard ride, maybe together, but togetherness is better than the separatism, because separatism and, you know, not to love each other and not to be kind to each other, because we have one country called the United States of America, so it's better we all acknowledge it and learn from history of other countries like Iran, that they brought Ayatollah Khomeini, and now Khamenei is in charge, and etc. And all this crap is happening right now. And all North Korea, I mean, people of North Korea, people of Iran, and people of China, they have no enmity between for United States or anybody else. But the fault of the Kim Jong is the fault of Ayatollah Khamenei and Zhou, the Chinese, you know, president. It's the fault of them. It's not the fault of the people. You know, like in North Korea, people are so hungry. They have no other alternative to go to the army to get some food and whatever they tell them. So they say, okay, we will do whatever you want us to do. But, you know, in reality, people of North Korea, you know, they have, they're nice people. And Iranian people are nice people, but Ayatollahs are bad. The Kim Jong is a bad boy, but it's not the fault of the country. That's what we have to realize. That, please.
Agreed. The dictators are the ones who are bringing their people into their own.
We have
own...
a guest caller.
Yes.
Who are? May I, 407, who is this?
This is Nathan in Orlando. I'm sitting here listening, and I got something that can throw, you know, as we talk through different ideas and stuff, I have something that I think it can blow all of our ideas out, and it's going to shock us one day. I understand
sure.
this when you got
can,
on
can
the economy.
I just say
I'm,
something quick?
I'm a, pardon?
Hold on, Nate. I'm the host. I'm off the air, but Don and Singapore and Mike are talking, so feel free to talk. I'm just
okay.
keeping the phone on standby, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, well, something I ran into a long time ago and very few people know, there's a George H. Bush, Daddy Bush, in 1992 wrote an executive order, 12803. And it'll open your mind to all the stuff that we got going on that it just keeps we keep dealing with throughout. You can see us moving in that direction. But what he did is he basically, with the stroke of his pen, without three branches of government and the people, he gave our country over to a globalist system. And, you know, right now we got people coming in. We don't know who it is. Are buying up large amounts of property around our military bases, which means if we ever go to war, it's over before it gets started. They're buying up our highways, our courthouses, our ports. We have no idea what we think we have as an Americans and our heritage. One day we're going to wake up and find out, wow, we don't have that, you know, and it will open your eyes too when you see how right now, and the Republicans act like they're fighting. We got a large amounts of people coming over here, and it's just like, when does this stop? And if you ever do get a hold of it, how hard is it to turn it back? And that executive order 12803 explains that we're being transformed into a new form of government.
Okay, Mr. Nathan. Okay, the question is, now tell me, when we think we are so disunited, we want to almost kill each other. So how that can help, you know, I mean, how that can help to our beloved country? I mean, you said everything, okay, all right. But the question is, we have, instead of we want to kill each other, we have to love each other, kindness, and respect. I mean, okay, in the one street, you know, say Trump, they go and say Trump. In the next street, you know, opposite to them, people say Biden. So that's fine. But we don't need to be mean to each other. That's my problem.
Well, I don't want to be mean to anybody. But here's the thing: the two parties are one party, because they keep we got one party is and it's the two parties is one party, and they got me and you down here divided. But when you see over time, I would never be mean to you. But whenever you're saying, "Hey, I'm struggling because I can't pay my bills," and they're taking my house, I can feel sorry for you, but I'm probably going to happen to me too. It's hard. We can pull together and be unity and love each other, but it's going to be hard when we're the victims of the policy. We got to be able to get a hold of the politicians and say, answer these questions, but they don't.
Okay, you are absolutely right, but at the same time, we are all in the same shoes. That's the question. We must understand that everything you said, I think I don't have any problem with it, but maybe Mr. Don has a problem with it. Do you have any problem with what Mr. Nathan said?
He was just speculating. There's nothing wrong with right now. Nothing. There's nothing we can do about the past. We're looking at the future. We're looking at a future where the people of color are going to be the majority, real, real soon. So all of the things that are happening right now are almost superfluous. We're going to have a situation where there's going to be new leadership, new directions in which we go. You know, this EV thing may just catch on and go forward. Because when you talk about how people live, we're factoring in the formula. We're missing the factor of humanity. People are variable. They don't do the same thing twice very often, and if they do the same thing twice, something is going to be different. So we're going to have to look at the way that we treat each other, you know, and it's not going to be about love. It's going to be about respect for our intelligence, for what people do for each other, and there are going to be some new coalitions that are going to be developed. But right now, things are failing. Everybody in the world, Suzette kind of said it, she inferred it, things are failing. Whatever is going on with our leadership and the people who are in charge, they're just going down the wayside. And they're leaving everybody high and dry to do what they think they need to do to survive. And this is not a good place to be, to continue another 400 years in our dynasty. So we're going to have to really think of things that we can do to change.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing, what you said, you know, the way things are changing, you know, somebody 100 years ago could treat somebody that was related to you, somebody on my side, my family, treat somebody that was related to you. That wasn't fair, but then we are picking that up again 100 years later. And it isn't that I don't like you, or that even if I don't like you, I can still respect you. It's not about that. Exactly. It's about we are stuck under the policy of those running it at the top.
Exactly. Amen. Because this is what I'm saying many times, and pretty much in this show, and if any other shows that I am, I promote love, happiness, peace upon everybody. I want you become have a good car, good house, good everything, as well as the love your thy neighbor. Simple. I practice. We have to practice that more often because we have forgotten the time. As long as you know, religion is out of our system, then we see what happens to our beloved country, and we see so much crime, so much all those craps that we see every day because people forgot religion. I don't care whatever religion you may choose, but the question is, you must try to apply it in your life. You know, Jesus Christ, love thy neighbor. Moses said a very similar thing, love your neighbor more than yourself, and similar other ones said the same thing in different ways. Bottom line is, we should, you know, like this show is very great because we bring different opinions together, and you know, sometimes we may clash on different opinions, but the real truth will come out of it. But we do it professionally. We never say any bad things to each other in this show. As long as I have been here with Jane, with Don, Wade, and other people, you know, we don't get emotional together. Okay, if I am disagree with, for example, with Don, I say I'm disagree with you, but I don't raise my voice to him or something because we respect each other. And same thing with Jane and with you, Nathan, and so go ahead, Nathan. What else do you see, sir?
Well, you know, the thing I just see this, and not just in from what happens from many years ago and how it relates to here, but even now, you know, if I have a disagreement with you and you disagree with me and we can't, you know, somebody else steps in and demands one of us do something to make the other guy happy. And then the one guy that has to do something to make the other guy happy, he feels cheated because, you know, he can't just walk away. He's got to live under what someone else decides is right. Not saying he's right or wrong, but, you know, we all just need to get respect in our own hearts for each other. But at the same time, realize that, you know, I'm never going to win. I'll give you a good example of this. I'm never married, don't have any children, and it is a two-income economy. Most people that are, you know, most moms and dads are both working. There's two incomes coming in. And yet when you go to work, they look and say, well, this guy doesn't have a family, he's not married, so we'll give the work to this guy here that's got eight kids, and he's making gold, and I'm getting pennies, and whenever I ask for some extra work, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll keep you in mind, but it never happens because they see this guy needs it, and yet, in many cases, I'm more qualified to do the job that he's doing, but it's a two-income. Whenever I bought my house, I went a whole entire year, every time I found a house, this was the house I want to buy. And I say, okay, let's go for it. And then the realtor gets back. Somebody else made a bid on it. And then finally the lady at the bank, after a year, she says, what your problem is, you're a one-income family, which means if someone else likes the house and they want to offer more, you can't stay in the debate and offer more. You have to drop out. So what she did is she got me a new realtor. And this lady, when I found the house, we processed it, and then I found out afterwards, at the closing, after everybody left, the realtor and the lady from the bank stayed in the office, and then they told me what they did is whenever I made an offer, they did not put it on the market because they knew that I would have lost it again. So and then she told me next month when the book comes out with all the houses in it for sale, you'll see a picture of your house with sold on it, but it won't be in this month's book. It'll be in next month. So, you know, these people helped me out because they saw that. And it's hard for me to say to the boss, hey, listen, I got bills too. And it, you know, and they're like, well, this guy's got eight kids. So, you know,
absolutely.
It's hard to get people to reason because their mind's in a, locked in on a track,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
Not just one issue. It's a lot of issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's better we reason with each other now before it's too late because we
yeah.
have one country and we don't want it become the Beirut. We don't want it become like other countries, Argentina, and many other countries as well.
But,
so it's better.
But we're getting there because, like I said, when I
yeah.
mentioned, we're getting there because whenever I mentioned
yeah.
Executive Order 12803, that allows other countries to come in here, China, Russia, Iran, they can come in here and buy the interstate, buy interstate. And you can drive down this interstate going, you know, my great-grandfather helped build this interstate after the war. And then find out some other country owns it, and they're the landlord, and everything goes through the government for taxes and repairing the road and stuff like that. And we, America is not America anymore on Executive Order 12803. And it's when you see this, and I've looked around at ports, highways, courthouses, all kinds of infrastructure that does not belong to the United States government.
Long Beach belongs to China. We know that. Right? Long Beach?
What?
Port of Long Beach belongs to China.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
Yes. And if you go through and look at all the ports in our country, I remember back in 2006, Dubai wanted to come over. We heard they're coming over to manage a port here in America, and the people were screaming, no, that's American jobs. They didn't understand Dubai owns that, you know. Dubai owns that port. So, but they had to use the language that they're coming over to manage it. Yeah, they're managing what they own. But, you know, the American people just thought, well, they're just giving our jobs to foreign countries. But it was their property. And they can't do this according to the Constitution, but people don't know the Constitution.
Yes. Let me ask you, Don, what is your opinion about Mr. Netan, please? Can you give
about
us your
who?
Opinion
well,
or
I mean,
your analysis?
No, I can't believe that he doesn't know that China owns 52% or 57% of America, and then a couple other percentages are from everybody else. But
yeah, the New York Stock Exchange is owned by a German firm.
Now it is, yeah.
Yeah, as of December 2012.
Mm-hmm. And what you mentioned is the Chinese, they also have our toll roads. And when you walk by, I argue when you use them, you got a tremendous amount of money going to the Chinese. You know, and it's your fault. I don't mean your fault, but leadership fault. Back in the 70s when the automakers begin making inferior American cars, and everybody went to Japanese cars, and then slowly but surely they saw the price changes, and we don't make TVs or radios or anything else electronic anymore. We don't have any TV companies in America that TVs are made in America. So that's ridiculous, and it's our fault.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in that same time, the 70s, you know, there was, and my dad, I remember this, in the early 70s, somebody was talking about buying cars from Japan, and my dad said, no, Americans ain't going to buy cars from Japan, because if you paint, the way he said, if you scratch the paint off the door, it'll say Schlitz, because all it is a converted beer can, right? And it was funny
yeah.
that Nixon made a deal with Japan that we would buy their cars, and people are saying, no, I'm not going to do that. But the next president, Carter, got us into a Middle East issue that caused the gas prices to drop. And guess what? People started buying up them little cars. You know, so they, that's what I'm saying, at the top, they're deciding what kind of car you're going to drive, what kind of life you're going to live, where you're going to work. They're deciding it through their policy. They set the policy in, and then next thing you know, I'm buying this little Japanese car that I wouldn't, I want to drive my Cadillac or my, you know, station wagon or stuff like, you know, so they their policies are, it's that they're dialectic, what are they going to, Hegelian dialectic. Create a problem and then create a solution that gives you what you want, you know?
Well, okay, Nathan.
So, yep.
You know, so basically by 2027, pretty much everybody should have either a hybrid or electrical cars. And inside the electrical cars, they have put all kind of AI and everything. Pretty much, you know, before even you get into the wheels of your car, AI, when you start the car, AI knows that if you have drunk or if you, you know, your blood alcohol is above 0.08, and automatically it will shut it off itself. So it says, no, it's still you're too early, you know, to drive. So you have to wait until, you know, maybe 1 hour or 2 hours, and then it started again. And hopefully the AI say, okay, your blood alcohol is much less, so go ahead, we can drive. So, yes.
So we just replaced the cop.
Right, exactly. And 2027 and beyond, you know, every cars, everything, pretty much, you know, if you go right side of the, you know, side of the freeway, you know, a few times, your car will automatically go right side and it stops. And you cannot do anything about it because everything is controlled by AI. And AI also can, you know, steal our election this year. So what's your opinion on that, please?
Yeah, there's a debate right now where, you know, you can be driving down the road and a cop can get behind you, and there's certain cars that they can call, I can't remember the name of this car service, and they'll say, can you cut his car off? And then, boom, his car cuts off, okay? They want to make this technology so the police, and I agree with this, so the police, if they get in a chase, they want to pull you over and you don't want to stop, they can just cut your, the cop can touch this button and boom, your car comes to a stop. Okay, that's
absolutely
good. I'm glad he's not going to be able to outrun the cop and get out there and hurt somebody. But here's
absolutely
the other part. I agree with that. But here's the other part. You let people get, the wrong people tap into that technology. Remember what happened in the Middle East? We got people coming in on hang gliders over the people, shooting them, okay? And then right after that, we got airliners carrying passengers in the Middle East, and Iran is shooting the GPS into their